It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
The Book of Romans. Well, why is the Book of Romans so important? Well, there are many things we could point to, but one of the main aspects is that Paul presents a clear picture of what the gospel is. Today, there seems to be a lot of confusion as to what the gospel really is. People need to be aware of what the gospel means, and there's a lot of confusion. Well, some say there's more than one way to go to heaven. Some say there's no hell. Some say there is no heaven or hell, but Paul the Apostle goes through this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he gives a clear outline, a clear definition of what the gospel really is. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he also tells us that there is no other way to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And as we study the book of Romans, we understand, and we're going to get into this later on, how that Paul is a prosecutor. In other words, he's acting as someone who's presenting something that says someone's guilty. Well, in that area, he's presenting a case. He starts out with a plus, telling us about the gospel and about prayer. And then he goes into the fact that all are guilty before an all-righteous God. There is no exception. There is no excuse for people not understanding that they are sinners. Some people think they are without sin. Well, they live above sin. Some people think this. But Paul says, no, that's not true. You are a sinner. And today, we need to understand that. As Paul the Apostle said of himself, he was the least of all, but he thanked God that he was chosen to carry the gospel to the world. In another place in the scriptures, Paul said he was chief of sinners. And we need to be thankful to the Lord today as saved people that we are allowed to take the gospel and take it to other people. We are entrusted with the holy things of God to take Jesus Christ into this lost world, in and around and about us, to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Well, the last time we were together, we left off with verse 10 of chapter 1 of Romans. And as I said in the beginning, looking at Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 13, I said that Paul gives an example, an outline of 8 admonitions concerning prayer. We went through some of those, and today we want to start with number 7, the 7th admonition that Paul gives. In verse 10, the Bible says, making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Well, the 7th admonition here from Paul is that prayer should be submissive. Note the words in that verse, by the will of God. Paul did not demand of God or order God or dictate to God what he wanted. He simply made a request and wanted the request granted only if it was the will of God. When we pray to the Lord, we need to pray expecting that he's going to answer the prayer. But sometimes God does not answer the prayer the way we want him to answer the prayer. We need to pray and be in submission to the Lord by saying, Lord, if it be your will, let this come to pass. If it be your will, answer this prayer, not according to what I want, Lord, but you know better. You answer it the way it needs to be answered. And that's what Paul was saying here in verse 10. He was submissive to the Lord's will. Well, number 8 is that prayer should be rightly motivated. Verses 11 and 12 says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Well, notice down through verse 12, Paul was motivated here. First of all, he wanted to do God's will, according to verse 10. And secondly, he wanted to establish or strengthen, to confirm the Roman believers on the rock, Jesus Christ, verse 11. And third, he wanted to comfort and encourage these believers as well as to be comforted and encouraged by them, according to verse 12. Well, Paul's reasons were good reasons. He was concerned for the glory of God and the good of others. Now let's look at a reason that Paul wanted to go to Rome. One of the reasons Paul wanted to go to Rome is in verse 13. He says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that ofttimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Well, God makes no mistakes. Paul wanted to go, but God had other plans for him. He says he was let hitherto. In other words, he went someplace else. Paul wanted to go to Rome in order to get some results, the fruit. This meant he wanted to see people growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." We bring honor and glory to God by studying His Word. We bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ by growing in His grace. Well, that means to gain the wisdom of God. Ask for wisdom. Ask for the knowledge. And that knowledge comes through the study of the Word of God as the Holy Spirit imparts the truth to us as we read the Word of God. Now, in Paul's case, many times Rome was included on his travel itinerary. But again and again, Paul was hindered from making the trip. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 13 and Romans chapter 15 and verse 22, it talks about him making a trip. He was hindered. And one reason that Paul wanted to go to Rome is found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 13. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, once again it says, "To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Romans chapter 15, verse 22 says, "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you." Well, did Paul eventually get to Rome? Well, of course, yes, he did. But he got there in a very unusual way. God does not always answer our prayers, as I've said before. He does not always answer our prayers as we think He should. Paul's prosperous journey turned out to be one of the most treacherous and dangerous trips across the Mediterranean Sea you could ever imagine. And this, of course, is described in detail for us in Acts chapter 27. Well, certainly the trip was not what Paul expected. He was escorted there as a prisoner. And Paul's prayer was answered, but in a very unusual way. And once again, our prayers get answered, and sometimes they don't get answered the way we want them to get answered, but we need to be in submission to God for Him to answer the prayer the way He wants to answer. Now, in verse 14, the epistle to the Romans is the true masterpiece of the New Testament and the very purest gospel. And this is, it's well worth and deserving that a Christian man should not only learn it by heart, word for word, but also that he should daily deal with it as the daily bread of men's souls. It can never be too much or too well read or studied, and the more it is handled and the more precious it becomes and the better it tastes. This is that I just read, and I just went over this with you. What I've just spoken of here comes from Martin Luther, the Reformer. He says the Epistle to the Romans is the true masterpiece of the New Testament. Well, now in Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, "I am debtor." This is Paul speaking. He says, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." Well, here we see an obligation. Paul says, "I am a debtor. I owe something. I have an obligation. I have a gospel duty to do something." Well, an obligation to whom? The Greeks and the barbarians, Paul said. And these were two classes of Gentiles. The Greeks were those under the influence of Greek culture and language. The Greek language was the universal common language of the Roman Empire, and Paul's letter to the Romans was written in common Greek, not in Latin and not in Hebrew. The barbarians here were foreigners, those not under the direct influence of Greek culture. Well, you can look in Acts chapter 28 and verse 2 and verse 4 in conjunction with this. And Paul owed the gospel to every member of the human race. You see, life is short. Death is sure. Sin is the cause, and Christ is the cure. And we need to take that to heart today. There's only one cure, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, it says this, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Ready, set, go. Paul said, I'm ready. Ready, willing, and eager to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome. Ready for what? To preach the gospel. In other words, evangelize. Announce the good news. To proclaim the gospel. To proclaim means to evangelize. An evangelical church is an evangelistic church with strong beliefs, enthusiastic or zealous in support of the good news of Christ, and very eager to share the good news with other people. Not according to what they think, but what they know according to the Scriptures. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Well, notice the three great I ams here of the Apostle Paul. Verse 14, he says, "I am debtor." In verse 15, "I am ready." Verse 16, he says, "I am not ashamed." Paul said, "I am not ashamed." He said, "I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed." He said that three times. Paul was not ashamed to go to prison for the sake of the gospel, and he was not ashamed to die for the sake of the gospel. Christians should not be ashamed of the gospel, and they should not be ashamed to the gospel by living contrary to its principles. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 12, it says this, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." This is Paul the Apostle speaking in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. He says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." He says this over and over again. He suffered. He suffered possibly more than any man apart from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he was not ashamed of that. He was not ashamed of that suffering. Are you ashamed of the Lord today? Or do you share with him to this lost world? Do you share with this lost world Jesus Christ? Can you say with the Apostle Paul, "I am not ashamed of the gospel"? You need to trust Jesus Christ to take care of you as a Christian. And you, if you're not saved, you need to trust him as your Savior today. May the Lord help each of us to live close to our Savior and know him as he is our Savior and he is our protector. He is the one who gives us eternal life.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.